Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of The Long Cast. It is with Marvin Hager. I've known Marvin for a very long time. It's episode 47, part one, and part two will be coming out next week, as I do on The Long Casts, but I loved recording with Marvin. It was nice. He let me talk a little bit for sure, but we had a nice conversation. We specifically talked a lot about mental stuff and like how to like be better, like laziness, stuff like that. He actually moved to Germany to go to school. So that was awesome to hear because he, his brother went before him, but Marvin went after and didn't speak as much English as his brother Paul, but as much German as his brother Paul, excuse me. And it was just interesting to hear what it was like making that transition over there. So it was awesome. I love this podcast. Definitely check it out. Stick with it. It's a pretty interesting conversation. And if you guys like it, we will have part two next week. All right, everybody. Without further ado, here is episode 47, part one with Marvin. Enjoy. They're actually adding their phones to like extra pockets on the side, yoga bands, stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's like a big thing. Everybody has their phone on them nowadays.
Do you think it would be better to have the phone in a pocket, but like more towards your leg, more towards your thigh?
I either keep it in my back pocket. So like at work, I have a phone that I have to keep on me.
Oh, okay.
Because like all the scanning that I do. I work two jobs.
Mm.
One of them's retail. And in retail, I have to have this phone on me. I keep an iPhone, like a newer iPhone on me, to scan stuff and for the customers, okay. Right?
Yeah.
I keep that one in my back pocket.
All right.
So I keep that one in my back pocket just because, you know, it's not near my nuts.
Yeah.
And so I keep that one away from there. And then I don't keep my phone on the floor.
Mm.
So like I never have my, or I try very, very diligently. Sometimes I have my phone on me. If I'm like anxious about something or I'm worried about something, like I'll check my phone when I go in the back sometimes. But usually I keep my phone off me. Like, I'm like, okay, it goes here. Like, when I go on the tennis court, so I coach now too,
mm-hmm.
or when I'm practicing, my phone stays either in my car or stays in my bag.
Okay.
Yeah. When I'm playing Melee, my phone, I put my phone off, and I either put it off or I mute all the stuff. So it's kind of hard to get to me sometimes because I never have notifications on.
Why don't you have notifications on?
I just don't, because I have the sound off because it bugs me.
Okay.
It bugs me. So, like, because I don't want to be pulled out of what I'm doing, like here.
That makes sense.
So like what I'm doing here. So let me check actually. Let's see. So here's my phone. I have it on the floor. I might actually have my sounds on. So I have my sounds on now. Bad example. No, but so usually I just have like my phone off, airplane, whatever, at least in silent most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I always have mine on silent as well.
Yeah, because what I'm doing is right here. You know what I mean? That's my whole thought process is that what I'm doing is right here.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm doing is not on my phone. And I will use my phone when I need to use my phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I treat it more as a tool, that like what it is, right? Because it's dangerous. Like, so what I did was actually, I limited my Instagram time to 15 minutes. I did a little timer. You can actually put the activity timer.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. First couple days, I would hit that timer so early.
Okay.
So, like within waking up, within an hour of waking up, I would hit that timer because I would get up and I'd just peruse Instagram.
Right.
And then you just realize, and then you start thinking, you're like, how much time am I spending on my phone?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much time am I spending looking at this device?
Mm-hmm.
And how much of is it? Because your phones aren't inherently bad.
Right. There's lots of productive things that you can do on phones.
Yeah. There's a lot of productive things. Like my schedule's in my phone. Right. I can reach you from my phone. I can reach anybody. So like this podcast.
News articles. You can learn about stuff.
Yeah. Anything that you need to learn. You can use your phone. You have, I love this quote, is that I've said it on the podcast before. I might have even heard it on Rogan or something. You have more knowledge in your hand, mm-hmm. access in your hand, than all of human history like combined.
Yeah.
That is the world we live in today. Phones are useful, but I don't like having my phone on me. That's the thing, because if I'm looking at my phone.
It's too much of a distraction.
Yeah. This is why, one, this, I've talked about this too, why I love podcasting. When we're recording, which by the way, we're recording.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
I just go. This is the format. We'll get into it in a sec, but this is the format. We just go.
All right.
Yeah. So Marvin's never been on the podcast. I should have introduced you. I'm with Marvin Hager today. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, Lucas.
Yeah. I've known Marvin for a long time.
Mm-hmm. We go way back, man. Yeah, we go way back.
Well, since we're babies, literally, because your older brother, Paul, who I'm going to have on. I can't wait for that podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have him on. I've known him since the crib, pretty much.
Right.
I've known him since like toddler, like 2 years old or something. Because we're family friends.
Right.
So Marvin's over in Germany now. We'll get into all that. But I want to hit up with this phone discussion. Like, because imagine this. So this is why I really like podcasting. One, I really like talking to people, like in long form.
People are interesting, man.
Yeah. People are fucking awesome, right? Like, just having so think about it. Every person that you interact with has an experience that you have never had, and you may never experience ever.
Right.
Even kids.
Mm-hmm.
They have, and that's why it's cool. Like, you sit down, and so even in retail, like, one of the things I learned was, like, oh, I can just start talking to people, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa. I was talking to this one guy, and he tells me, he's like, oh, I knew like the owner. I know the owner of Patagonia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait, what? And he was like, yeah, I climbed with him in the 70s when he was like setting roots.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And this is just like some guy who walked in the store, and you go, any other guy. But that's everywhere. And it's not even that. So I just had another guy on for my work, and it's not like he came on here and was like, I know the owner of Patagonia or anything like that. It's just he told me, and he goes and he built a house with his dad, basically. By the time he was like 26 or something. So this is Neil. He's going to be the guest before you, actually.
Okay.
So those haven't come out yet as we're recording this. But he like built a house with his dad and everything by the time he was like 26. And then he moved all the way over here and like kind of is figuring everything out. And now he just got a job in Rhode Island. Like, it's awesome. It's crazy.
Right.
And like, there is those things all over. Think about this. Think about you, for example. Think about you. Okay. You're walking down the street here in Malvern, PA, right? But the people that you don't know and the people that you don't talk to, but you could, like at some point you could just run into them and be like, oh, I see you have this thing, and you find something in common. And then you're like, okay, what's up? And then all of a sudden you start talking and you're like, oh yeah, by the way, I up and moved to Germany to go to school and I don't really speak German.
Right.
And I went to university there.
Yeah.
That other person would be like, wait, what the fuck? Wait, what are you talking about? So you moved to Germany, right?
Right.
This is where we're getting into this now. It's like, you moved to Germany, your family speaks German, and you
right.
somewhat understand it, but now you live there, and you are in university there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like,
it's crazy, right?
I do have to contribute a lot to my brother, because him going there and saying, like, and describing what an incredible experience it was just to move to Germany.
Yeah.
And study there, he said he wouldn't trade about this, and he wouldn't trade for anything.
Yeah.
He wouldn't trade for anything. And I was like, well, I have to experience something like that as well. And I feel like college is that time to do something like that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say it was terrifying at first.
Yeah.
It was
Oh, my God. Marvin, I want to just tell you, like, the amount of props I have for you.
Thanks, man.
Just because...
I get that a lot. Lots of people...
Yeah. No. See, the thing is...
Thank me for that. Or
yeah.
Praise
me. No, it's props, dude. It's hella props. Because the thing is... You live
it. Just seems so natural to me. That's the weird thing.
You know why?
Why?
Because you live it. You live it. You go there and you do it, and you're like, yeah, well, this is my fucking life. That's why.
Right. I like that. That's exactly how I view it. It's like, well, this is just how I live.
And that's the thing that we were talking about with people earlier.
Right, right.
If I go up and, so I love tennis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to a professional tennis player, I'm like, yo, like, what you do is so incredible. They go, yeah, it's my fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wake up and I play and I train and I play. I'm kind of fucking sick of it by now. I still love it, but you know, it's hard.
Yeah, right,
like, it's hard. They might even say, like, you know, it's tiring. Like, it's tiring. But then you look at other people, look at it, and they go, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm listening to the David Goggins book right now.
Okay.
Book is, by the way, I think everybody in the world should listen to that book. It's called You Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. That book is incredible. It teaches you, he teaches you the power of your mind by his, he talks about his experience.
Mm.
He just, he's run over like 60 ultras, which is like over 100 miles, like 100 mile races and stuff like that.
That's crazy.
He's won a couple of them. He's Navy SEAL, stuff like that. And so, I mean, that's just the brunt of it, but he teaches you, like, it's all in your mind. You know what I mean? Like, it's all this power that you have in your mind that you can just push through these things.
Mm-hmm.
So he talks, and all he does is make himself suffer. Like, it's crazy.
But that's how you grow. That's how you learn.
Yeah. and he's just obsessed with suffering. And you tell him, you're like, dude, what you do is incredible. Like, this is amazing what you do. And he talks about this. He broke the world pull-up record, which was like 4,000 in 24 hours. He did 4,030 some pull-ups.
That's
32 pull-ups, wow. I think.
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah. So he broke the record for that. And like a bunch of people said he wasn't going to do it and everything like that. And he said, as soon as he finished, he did not feel like this oversensing of like, oh, yes, I accomplished it. He was like, no, I've been fucking suffering like this since day one. Like, this is what I do, is what I suffer. Like, I suffer. He lives it. But other people look at you and go, that's incredible. Like, I have not experienced those things. And so, like, you, I look at you, I go, so me, I'm a person who has in the past really struggled with social anxiety. Like, bad. Like, it's just one of those things I struggle. It's just like one of those things. But I'm much better at it now. But I look at you and I go, how hard it must be, especially for me, if I put myself in your shoes, how hard would it be for me to just go and move to Germany?
That was like the biggest problem for me.
Yeah. And then learning the language, right?
Right. Yeah. It's a combination of both.
Yeah.
Right. And that, like, I definitely have to say, like, first semester, I switched colleges, right? So I was at TUM, Technical University of Munich, for my first semester, the fall semester.
Interesting.
Or winter semester, they say.
Yeah.
And then I met a lot of people, right? You see people, you go to the lectures, you try to do what you can, right? First of all, the university is hard as hell.
Yeah.
They increased the difficulty of my major specifically, informatics or computer science.
Yeah.
And
which is probably necessary because of the world we're going into.
Yeah. And they increased the difficulty just to throw, because they had too many kids, right? They had too many kids coming to the university. So they said, all right, we're in an elite college and we need to have only a specific amount of people graduating in this specific major.
Yeah.
In order to uphold
to make sure that the quality elitism of student that we have
is
a good quality of student.
So what they do is they make the first two semesters incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Even though there is a shortage currently of computer scientists in Germany,
yeah,
this elite university has decided we need to
make this hard.
Increase the difficulty.
Yeah.
Just so we keep that elite status.
Yeah.
And for me, and like, that does not match up with my morals.
Yeah.
And I thought that is not something I want to experience and something I want to go through.
Yeah.
So after the first semester, I had lots of social problems as well. It was hard making friends because I think a lot of it had to be because of the increase in difficulty. Everyone was studying. Everyone was home studying in their apartments. No one was doing anything. No one was really going out.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's hard to make friends, right?
Yeah.
So the social problems were really bad.
Yeah.
I didn't agree with really their morals, and the difficulty was over my head.
Yeah.
So I just decided, I made the executive decision, like over winter break, I was like, all right, you know what? I tried it out. I don't think it's for me. I'm going to switch. I'm going to go down a step.
Yeah.
So there's another college in Munich called LMU.
Okay.
Ludwigs Maximilians Universität. And that is a perfect fit for me.
Yeah. That's good.
First week there, I instantly make friends.
Yeah.
I have a solid friend group going now, and the difficulty seems to be like the thing that I found incredibly strange was what I was learning at both universities is the same exact thing.
Yeah,
like the material doesn't change, but how they taught it at my new university compared to the one, my old one, it's incredible what of a difference it made.
Yeah. Oh, the way that you learn something, and that's why certain universities are a better fit for some people,
right,
and some of them aren't. Like, you could have someone that goes to that university, the other one, TC, or was it TMU?
TUM.
TUM. They could go there and they go, I fucking love this.
Right,
like, this is what I love.
Just, yeah.
Like, this is,
that's
this,
how
is
learn.
This is how I learn. Other people, it doesn't work for them like that. Mm. You know what I mean?
Right.
And especially with, like, universities, like, that's a pretty important part. It's like finding...
I mean, that's why you're going to university.
Yeah. It's to find out, like, what... Like, I want to be able to learn... I want to be able to learn and find out where can I learn in the best environment for
exactly,
me.
Exactly.
That's good. I'm glad you found a university that worked for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I find funny, though, is I would not give up that first semester.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I went through that experience.
You have to.
Because that did so much character building for me. I found exactly what I want.
Yeah.
I changed it.
Yeah.
And now I'm happy because of it.
Yeah.
And that taught me that change is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I look back at so many people from my high school are still in Pennsylvania. Lots of them go to Westchester College, which is a fantastic college, by the way.
Yeah.
But that is just something that I couldn't do myself personally.
Yeah.
because
you needed
to
change.
I've had my 18 years here, and I thought I'm ready for a new experience. I want to try something else, and that also helped me make the decision to go to Germany to study.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know that. Yeah. Like
a lot
of thought went into that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's working out.
Yeah, the thing is though is that change is good. That is huge.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge.
I learned that lesson.
Yeah,
just from that.
That's something I struggle with.
Because
think about it, everybody. If you're striving for everything to be the same every single day, you're gonna have a fucking rough time.
Right.
Because guess what? I wake up tomorrow. I wake up tomorrow, and I wake up on the right side of the bed.
Right.
I have a great day. I wake up on the left side of the bed. I have a rough day.
Right.
If you are trying to just control everything and make everything the same every single day, let me have it for you. The world doesn't give a fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean? The Earth, first off, we live in, I love breaking things down this way. You live
right.
in the solar system, right?
Or right.
We live in the universe, and we live in the galaxy, and we live in the solar system. We live on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
No one gives a fuck.
No one gives a fuck.
Like, if you're controlling everything and have everything perfect, literally nobody cares.
Right.
Nobody, the universe does not care. That's why you should get used to change.
Right.
And as soon as this thing that is beautiful, is that when you can just get used to the flow and you have the loose planning. You're like, this is my goals. This is what I want to accomplish. This is what I have to do to accomplish whatever said goals. And then you go, and then this is how I roll with the punches of every single day.
Right.
Like, this is how so if my goal is to get really physically fit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, okay, well, this is what I got to do in order to get physically fit. If I'm trying to control every little thing, that's going to stress me out more.
Right.
And that's
just not worth your time.
It's going to hamper your performance anyway, right? That's how I usually look at things because I really like fitness, right? So that's how I usually look at it. And then you get stuck in this rut. You're like, and then you get stressed out.
Right.
Which is not good. That's not when you have, it's different when you're like stressed out that way as opposed to like making yourself be stressed, which is like putting yourselves in tough situations, like putting yourself in a situation where you're like, I know this is going to be tough. Instead of being, that's a different type of stress than looking at.
Right. That's kind of what I did with Germany. I was like, all right, I know it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
But I'm going
to
push through it.
And I have to do it. That's the thing. You probably at one point you were like, I don't know. So I'm going to ask you. At one point, was there a time where you were just like, you know what? Like, I'm looking at these other things. I have to do this. Like, I have to do this.
Right. Yeah. I couldn't say I could pinpoint an exact time, but definitely like towards the end of senior year, my high school senior year.
Yeah.
I was looking around at my life. I love the situation I was in.
Yeah.
I had an amazing girlfriend. I had a great group of friends. My grades were doing amazing.
Steady.
Everything was great. Everything was great. But at one point I was just like, you know what? It's time to shake things up a little bit.
Yeah. That's a big shakeup.
Mm-hmm. It was a huge shakeup.
Yeah.
But like I've had other people, like I've had multiple discussions about this, like the change between American high school and then going straight to like a German university.
Yeah.
And like everyone, and like I firmly believe this now too, everyone's saying like that some change like that is so character building.
Yeah.
That after you're done with that experience, yes, it might have been rough.
Yeah.
But you will be better off because of it.
Oh, that you have to suffer.
Yeah.
That's my favorite shirt in there. I'm not wearing it right now, but you can actually see it. It's the shirt I wear to melee tournaments.
Really?
Yeah, I wear it. It says suffer,
I like that.
Suffer on it.
I like that.
Because the thing is like, and I don't know, man, like you just, that's something I'm learning too, is you gotta do things that suck.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta do things that suck just because you want to do it because it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I call it the suck. I call it the suck and the resistance. You can feel it. They're the same thing, and it's also the fuck zone.
The fuck zone.
The fuck zone. So there's these things. These are these things that I'm kind of I'm developing in my mind. So I've been doing things recently, very recently. So the thing is, I have to keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. But persistence
is key.
Yeah, determination, persistence, patience,
patience,
because you got to be able to deal with when you're not.
That's something I'm also trying to get better at, the patience part.
Yeah. Gary Vee has it perfect. There's this one video of him, he's talking about it, and he says, you can do everything wrong until you're 30. Until you're 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even longer, until you're 30, 40, whatever, and wake up and go, yeah, I fucked all that shit up, but we're going to do it different from here on out. And you have a lot of time.
Right.
You still have so much time.
Like, that's something I also can't grapple with. Like, I'm 19 right now, almost 20. But I feel like...
You feel like it's knocking on the door, right?
Like, yeah, it's like I feel like these next like 2 years are going to decide my entire life.
And as someone who has... So I've not graduated college.
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten to my last semester. This is something that I've talked about a little bit. I have gotten to my... Marvin, I am on my last semester. I have 5 classes left. I just fucking stopped.
And you just stopped?
I just stopped.
And is there any reason why?
I hate school.
It's not for everybody. And that is...
And the thing is, though, real quick, sorry to cut you off, guess what? Those classes are still there for me. If that is the path that I have to go down in the future, guess what? I can wake up when I'm 30 and say, fuck, dude, I really should go finish those classes. And just put in the work and finish those classes.
As easy as that.
This is the time I'm supposed to fuck up and try new things.
Right.
I'm so young. Mm-hmm. I'm 24. I feel old. But the thing is like, really? I'm not that old.
Not at all.
Yeah, not at all.
That is a crazy, yeah. Well, what I wanted to say was there's always such a stigma. I feel like there's such a stigma here in America that it's always like a cookie cutter plan, right? Everyone has to go to school. You go to high school. You apply for colleges. You get into a college. You go to college for 4 years. And then you get a job. And then you do this and this. And then before you know it, you're dead.
Yeah.
Right? And it's always like such a cookie cutter plan.
Yeah.
And I never really liked that of the American school system or just like the American system in general. I agree. It does work. That's how people can get happy.
It works for some people.
Right, right. And that... In Germany, they kind of do it a little bit differently. They give the people, they give the students a lot more freedom in their path and what they want to do, right? So you, I forget, at a certain grade, you choose...
like placement tests, right?
Right, right. You have three high schools, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Just to keep it simple. You have three high schools that you can choose from, like a low level, a middle level, and then like a high level that's like university track.
Yeah.
Right? And then... You choose that around like fourth grade, I want to say.
Yeah.
I forget exactly when. And then you go there. Of course, you can always switch whenever.
Yeah.
If you're in like the middle school and you say, all right, this is not for me. I need to go lower, or is like this is way too easy. I need to go one higher. Yeah. You can always change.
And then you can be in high school and go, you know what? I've been like doing all this stuff. I've been doing all this, but you know what? What my big dream is I want to be like a neurologist.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, well, I got to go in the higher school and put
it in work. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I really like that system. And then as soon as you're done, you're that school, once you've hit 12th grade or 13th grade, it depends.
Yeah.
You get to choose what you want to do. The options, I feel like, are way better in Germany and way more normalized than here in America. Like you can go to college.
Yeah.
You can go to a higher school of education, Hochschule it's called, which is like college, but like a step down, not as hard.
Yeah.
And then you can go to a vocational school, right? Okay. And all three of those are super valid in the eyes of the Germans, right?
Yeah.
If you have something in mind that you want to do for the rest of the life, Germany enables you to do that.
Yeah.
Like for example, my cousin, he grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
Right? Belongs to my uncle, so his dad. My cousin's
mountains.
Dad. Is no, it's not. In the
I was about to say the classic. I grew up a farm in the mountains. You know.
No. It's on hills.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really
count. Not mountains.
Okay. But he wanted to inherit the farm, right? Well, he's gonna inherit the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves doing that kind of stuff. He loves driving tractors. He loves
taking care of the animals.
Taking care of the animals.
Planting,
planting
the
stuff.
Seeds.
Right. Right. Yeah. Sowing seeds. All that. That entire thing. And he knew he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So he goes to a school specifically designed to teach farmers economics of farming, how to do this.
That's
stuff.
A big part. That's the economics of it.
That's
sure.
like the majority of what he's learning, like the bookkeeping, what you have to do, how to keep a sustainable farm, how to make profits and stuff. And of course, now in the next couple of years, he's going to do an internship, I would say, at another farm. He's been on his dad's farm this entire time. Now he's going to go to another farm and he's going to help out there and see how that's going to work just to get like multiple perspectives.
Yeah.
And I find that amazing. I find that so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, seriously. That's so sick. Because like you can really find out what you want to do and hone that skill.
Yeah, exactly.
That's important.
Because who's to say that a farmer's value is not less than some guy that studies neurology or something like that?
Like, well, you could say like in. I mean, actually, you don't know. You know what I mean? Because they offer different value.
Exactly.
You mean a neurologist can provide immediate value for people that are struggling with neurological diseases, right? And we need those people. But that's the thing is that you need all of those people.
Mm-hmm.
You need farmers.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck are you going to do if you don't have any farmers? You're not going to feed people. Anybody that's out there, if you're going to figure out how you're not going to have farmers, you're going to feed people.
Like, right.
Once you invent that, like, cool. I'm like stem cells or whatever, like stem cell beef, right? Like that's what I've heard people talking about, stem cell beef. But you need to grow plants. You just need to grow plants to feed. You need to grow plants to not only feed people, to feed fucking animals, to feed everything.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they just offer like it. That's the thing is like everybody offers value. It's just really how you adjust your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like how do you adjust your perspective to look at that person and say, how does this person offer value to like society? Now, I don't think that's necessarily good to like look at people and be like, how does this person offer value to me?
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole bad rabbit hole, I think, to get down.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to look at people that way. But if you were like running a society, you would say, how can they offer the most value to the society? And what do they want to do? And if this is what they want to do, how can we teach them in order to have the best way for them to help out society? Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. I find it amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's like specifically why I find the system in Germany way better.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any friends that like came over here? Do you know any like anybody that Paul knew or anything like that came over here to an American college?
Not that I can think of currently. Yeah. It's very common in Germany, of course, to do like a semester abroad in America. Because there are plenty of good schools here.
Yeah. It's not to say the schooling's not bad here. It's just like...
Right, yeah.
It just doesn't work for everybody.
Right,
You know what I mean? That's the thing is, look, man, for me specifically, I just don't... I got to be honest. I don't want to do that work. Like, I don't want to put in the time to sit down in class and listen to a teacher or professor, and I don't want to spend the time to study. Like I don't like doing that. So it's just not what I like doing.
It's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. I agree
with that. And so I got to find out how can I, we'll see what I do. Like we'll see. So right now I'm just taking it slow, but like maybe I'll go back. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not even thinking that far ahead.
Right.
But that's the thing is like,
you have options laid in front of you.
Yeah.
And I think that's incredibly important.
Oh yeah.
Just the ability to know, and I think that also has a huge mental component to that as well. Just knowing that, all right, if I do fuck up for the next 2 years, I have a backup plan, or I can go another way.
Yeah,
just having that in the back of your mind, that does immense things for you.
Yeah, you can fuck up everything till you're 30.
Right.
And wake up and go, shit, I'm in a lot of debt and I really fucked this all up. It's going to be a grind, but I can change it all right now. And I can just decide. That's the thing, is that you can decide to do it. You have to just really want to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you can, this is something that I'm in competition too. Like in competition, whatever it is, habits, you can decide to do it. And that's the thing is once you know that you can decide to do it, then everything, it almost becomes easy. Because then you go, oh, I'm not doing this thing, right? Whatever it is. Let's say your phone, right? People talk about, so we can cap that off too. People talk about how phones are bad for society and how people are addicted to their phones and everything like that.
Mm.
You can literally decide to put your phone down. You can just
throw in a drawer and just be done with it.
Yeah, you can do that.
Right.
The thing is, they don't want to do that. And then once you say like, oh, I just don't want to, and then you're like, oh, okay. Then it's not the phone's fucking fault.
You know right.
what I mean? It's like it's my fault.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, okay, cool. Like that's and if I don't want to put my phone down, then that's kind of where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Then I have these things that I have to deal with or whatever. And then I like spending time on Instagram and stuff like that. There are people that enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like most of the time it's not usually like whatever it is, even if you're being successful in school like that, this is kind of, it's not really, it's no one else's fault. It's not the school's fault.
No.
Trust me. I did not do well in school because the school didn't want me to do well. I did not do well in school because I didn't want to do well in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If I really wanted to do well, I would have done well. It's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. Mm-hmm. It is tough.
And just deciding on those things. It's important. Mm-hmm. And like deciding to go. You know what I mean? Once you decide, you're like, okay, this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to make it work. Like you decided you were going to make it work. It's not that it just fucking fell into your lap, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like after the first semester of my German college, like, you know what? It didn't work the first semester. I'm out.
Yeah. Exactly. Because you had to learn the language. We haven't even touched on that yet. You had to learn the language. So you're in the same situation. You were in the same situation that I am. I have a basic understanding of German.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I hear words, I can go, yeah, they're probably talking about this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I can kind of figure that out. I can speak a little bit, but I'm not fluent.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly how I was.
Yeah.
In order to get into a German college, you do need to have a basic understanding of German.
Yeah.
You need to take a test. In America, the AP test for German is enough for you to get accepted. I took that. I got a 5, but like with the AP test, like it's not saying much. but that did help me just preparing for that test. That did expand my German knowledge a little more.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, like I would say I was not prepared for the level of German that they speak in colleges. It was so insane the first couple of weeks. You sit there in your seat and you're staring forward and you're looking at the professor, right? The entire time, and you're listening so intensely and you're trying to make out everything that he says.
Yeah.
And you're trying so hard to focus to understand.
But you just can't.
And that seriously hurt me the first semester.
Oh yeah.
Because you start focusing so much on what they're saying, like trying to understand what they're saying, instead of the material that they're trying to teach.
You have to learn two things.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that makes it...
I just love that little analogy. It's like, look, I did a little German, but I was not ready for the level of German that was about to hit me. You sit down there and he starts speaking in Deutsch.
Yeah, like it's completely different.
It's not German anymore.
Yeah.
It's Deutsch.
And
like, you sit down and he's going, all right, I know we got a couple people from America here. Are you ready for some Deutsch? Like, I'm going to hit you with it.
Oh, man.
And he starts rattling off words. I could just imagine, being like, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh fuck.
Yeah, that was literally my reaction. Like as like the first day we had like pre-lectures.
Yeah.
Like before everything started really to ramp up.
Mm-hmm.
We just learned some basic math and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's like also like another big thing. And as well as learning German, I also have to learn the new math.
Yeah.
And the math terms and how they speak in math as well.
Yeah.
Right? Because math in itself is its own language.
Yeah, math's definitely a language. I actually just had, oh man, hold on. So it's not going to be Neil. Andrew's before you.
Mm-hmm.
We just talked about this. Math is its own language.
Right.
Like it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's beautiful. Like numbers are numbers, but there's also like a way of speaking about it too.
Right, exactly. And I felt like I had to learn that as well as German at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a lot to put on someone.
Yeah.
I think that definitely contributed to my unsuccessful first semester.
Yeah.
But I rebounded.
Yeah.
Right? I learned a lot of German. I started to learn a lot of the specific subject words.
Yeah.
The computer science terms, the math terms, how to speak in math a little bit better. I'm still not there yet. It's still hard as hell. And then second semester, I go to a new college, and I found myself being able to just sit in a lecture
and
just listen and be like, okay, I understand. I get it.
Yeah.
And now I'm learning the material instead of learning German. That's what I felt like I was doing the first semester. I felt like I was learning German, not computer science.
Oh man, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And I'm glad that it's starting to work out better too.
Right.
But honestly, the thing is too, like that's what we're talking about. The suck, dude. That terrible, awful feeling of this sucks. Going through that is the best way to do it almost. Because you just, how are you going to learn German better?
Exactly.
How are you going to, there's no other fucking way. Everyone talks about this all the time. You know what? I want to learn another language. I'm going to move to another country and learn another language because that's the best way to do it.
That's how you do
it.
Not
a lot of people do it. But the thing is like, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? You just go there. You go there and you go, okay, so this is what we do. So this is how I say hi.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I say hi. Okay, hi. And then I go, okay, how you doing? Or this is how I say my name. All right, mm-hmm. You get there and you're like, all right. All right, you go and you figure all that out. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, so I've been living here for a couple months and now I can say all of these things. And then you're like,
I can order my food.
I can
say hi to people.
Yeah.
I can like say three sentences, like I have a three sentence conversation with someone.
And then you got to figure out. And then from there you're like, okay, especially if you're like, I'm going to be here for another 8 months. I'm going to have to learn how to talk to people.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? I've gotten past, hi, hello, how are you? It's time to learn how to talk to people. And that's what you do. It just forces you by brutal.
It's literally throwing you into boiling water.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just what happens when you go to another country.
You'll get burns. You'll get burns for sure. But you'll come out as some nice, healthy pasta.
Yeah, nice, healthy. How about lobster?
Yeah, lobster's probably better. I don't know where I was going with that.
You're screaming the whole way. You're screaming sorry out for my lobster lovers, but you're screaming the whole way. You're going, don't cook me. And somehow you come out and you're like, oh, I'm a nice juicy lobster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm bonjour. I can do it all.
And that's such an amazing feeling. Like, to everyone out there, like, I highly suggest learning another language.
Oh, yeah.
It does. It does lots of things for your mental capacity.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
It's really good for your brain.
Yeah, it's really good for your brain. But I just find it immensely fun just to talk in German.
Yeah.
I've come to that point. Of course, like I'd say, like the first year, it's hard as hell, right? You're learning German. You're sticking with it. You're trying to do what you can, and it's a struggle. But as soon as you get to that like critical tipping point, mm-hmm. and then you started thinking, wow, that conversation that I just had with him, that was really nice.
Yeah,
that went super smoothly. And then you just think, wow, that was actually kind of fun.
I got through that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, wow, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then you start building on that, and then before you know it, you prefer talking in that other language. Yeah. To your native language.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. Because all of a sudden you're having fun, you're learning all these new words,
right.
And you're learning how to talk to people. And it's just, it's way different than you've been speaking for 18 years.
Right.
Like, but it's literally just different. Mm-hmm. The way your tongue moves is different. You know what I mean? The sounds you make are different. That's why languages are different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, the first 18 years, it was really like, we would go to Germany every year, every summer to visit all my family, because my family is like the only part of the family tree that is actually in America.
America. Yeah.
Everyone
you guys
else,
you would go for an extended period of time.
We would go for 3 to 4 weeks every time.
Yeah, 3 to 4. I remember that. That was always sad.
Yeah.
When the Hagers were leaving. Nice. We always tried to get as much hanging out as we could before the Hagers were leaving.
That.
They're going to Germany.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good times.
Yeah.
But like, that was, those 3 to 4 weeks were the only time that I actually spoke German or had to like thoroughly understand. When I'm at home, my mom occasionally would speak German to me.
Yeah.
Right? I would answer in English, but I completely understood what she was saying.
Yeah.
My dad, if I was speaking English, he would always speak English back to me.
Yeah.
But whenever you're in Germany, like you have to, like my cousins don't really understand English that well.
Yeah.
My aunts and uncles, they don't speak a single word of English.
They don't give a fuck that you answer back in English. They're
right,
like,
right.
Boy, you're in Germany, learn some Deutsch.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it is.
Yeah.
My grandparents would grill me, especially like my grandfather. He would say, so how's your German this year? And like each time I'd be like,
listen,
not
man.
That much better than last year.
You got him with the young look.
It was rough.
I've spoke about 10 words since last time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I learned like maybe 3 new things.
Yeah.
Don't get your expectations up. It was rough.
But it was probably interesting too, because I remember Paul, your mom, and your dad pretty much spoke German all the time.
Right. My brother was way better in German than I was growing up.
Paul was also born in Germany.
He also had like a couple years in Germany. He started talking German before he started talking English, right?
Yeah.
He grew up in Germany for like a couple of years, and
so he moved over here when he was pretty young, and that's when we met.
Yeah, exactly. And that makes a big difference. It makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I think we got I originally started in German because my mom spoke German to me.
Yeah. I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I used to speak pretty much only German with my mom. Mm-hmm. Then he went to American school and like,
everybody's so
speaking
rough.
English. Well, the thing is that you learn your accent, your words, and the majority of everything you learn is from your peers that way.
Because
who do you spend the most time talking to?
All your friends and stuff.
Yeah, that's what you learn. So like, like accents and everything. That's funny. It's funny. Like you, Paul is interesting because Paul, he came back from Brazil. He came back and he had like this weird half German, half Portuguese, half English accent.
Yeah,
and
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It was all over the place.
Yeah, it was all over the place because all he's doing is hanging out with his Portuguese friends.
Right, exactly.
Like his Brazilian friends. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I find that really funny. But, like I of course I spend a lot of time with my German friends now.
Yeah.
They know some English, right?
Yeah.
And of course like we like make jokes in English sometimes and like what their English that they speak over there is different from what we speak over here. And I found myself adapting a little bit to their English
It's just what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Because you spend so much time with them, you start trying to relate more with them and then therefore you start to pick up their accents.
Yeah. And sometimes it just happens even like subconsciously where you're just like, you just hear a word a certain way so many times and you're just like, and then all of a sudden you just start saying it that way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that could just happen. If you're around that all the time, it's just going to make you better at doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I found it really funny. The first couple days that I was back here in America, of course, like my brother tries to keep with a strict only German in the apartment when we live together.
That's probably good for you.
He said if I say something to him in English, he'll pretend he doesn't understand it, and then that's my cue to re-say it, but in English. I mean in German. Sorry. Yeah.
And if I know Paul, he's diligent about that.
Yeah. He's slipped a few times with it in like the English, like if we're playing like competitive like Smash Online, like Smash Ultimate, like we're shouting in English. That's like all English. But anything else when we're just talking like normally for like at the dinner table or something, we talk in German. But like when I came back to America, those first 3 days, I found myself struggling talking to try and talk English.
Yeah,
talking English.
I absolutely expect that.
It was such a weird feeling.
Yeah.
It's like your entire life, you grow up, I only knew English, right?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, I find myself missing words here and there. It's like, shit, I only know this word in German right now. I could complete the sentence, but all of course my friends won't understand because they don't know any German.
Yeah.
Because I do not know the English word. So I would take like 10 seconds at a time and like try to like search back through my memory to find that English word.
Hey. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't know that. My
brother said he experienced a similar thing when he was in Germany. It becomes worse as you live longer in Germany.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you come like less and less back to the States.
Yeah.
Right. So you start to lose your first language. I just found that funny. I found that ridiculous funny. Of course, like now at this point, everything's fine.
Yeah.
But I definitely felt my English getting worse too.
Yeah. The thing is, it's people don't think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I never think about that. But now that you're saying it to me, it's really like a muscle.
Right. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's like riding a bike. You're never going to, once you're 20 and you've spoken English for 20 fucking years, like you're not going to forget English.
Right.
Like you're going to come back here and be like, hey, how are you? I need a couple of days. Okay. Yeah. That's how I say that.
Right.
All right. Cool. That might happen, but it's a muscle.
Right.
And if you don't, like you could not ride a bike for 20 years. You might be a little shaky the first couple pedals. You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Like, exactly.
It's just like that. That's pretty cool.
That's actually a really good metaphor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to pride myself on my metaphors. I work on them a lot.
Nice.
Well, one thing I want to say is that really cool. I want to get into this and I want to ask you about this. I'm really jealous. I'm super fucking jealous.
I think I know what's going
on. You get to live with Paul.
I do.
Not because of you get to live with Paul. I would love to live with Paul. That'd be awesome.
Anyone would love to live with
Paul's
Paul.
A man.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you get to live with your fucking brother, dude, in Germany. How awesome. Like, I want to live with Andre. Andre's my brother, dude. He's my best friend.
Right.
I want to live with Andre. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're living that.
Yeah.
How dope is it to live with your brother? Because you guys are really close, right?
Yeah. I mean, we were, of course, you always have those like years in the beginning when you're both young where you just like fight the entire time.
Yeah.
Like expected. But then as soon as we like hit a point where like our interests really lined up, we like the same things. We think very similarly as well.
Oh, yeah. You grew up in the same house.
Right. Yeah.
It's wild. So there's these kids I teach. And the mom comes up to me and she's like, yeah, they just fight all the time. And I told her, I go, look, they're like 13.
All right.
Like they're going to be fighting for years. But the thing is that when they stop fighting, there's nothing. If you don't have a brother, I'm sorry. It's just that, man, there's nothing like having a brother.
Especially it's a special
bond. When your interests line up.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about it. No one other than yourself. This is probably true. No one other than myself is going to know me better than Andre knows me.
I agree.
No one.
I agree.
Just all those fucking hours. If you find someone that you're interested in, you spend a lot of time doing. Do you know how many goddamn Andre and I calculated it one day? We've played like.
No, wait, really?
Yeah, we calculated our Melee games. We've played Fox Falco, right? I forget it. So of all the Melee that we've played with everybody, we must have played like 80 to 90% of all of our matches we've ever played have been against each other.
Wow.
Because we would sit down and we would play like 3-4 hours of Fox Falco just over and over and over again. We've played thousands and thousands and thousands of games against the same exact person. Mm-hmm. But that's, and it's not just that. It's like we're spending time, we're hanging out, we're talking, and you're living that.
Right. It's like on a completely different level.
Yeah.
I was skeptical of it at first. I was like, I've never lived with my brother before. I know we've had kind of beef in the past.
Yeah.
but we're really close.
You're older. You're more mature.
Yeah. We're more mature. And I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah. I was, oof. It is amazing. It is so much fun. Because I think we work really well together.
Yeah.
There are times where there's always going to be miscommunication and stuff.
Yeah.
But in terms of like planning things, knowing that when we have chores to do, like splitting up chores somewhat evenly. And
the thing is that you can be real too. Because your brothers are so comfortable. You can be like, yo, Paul, why the fuck didn't you do that?
Right. Exactly. You and like he understands like, my bad.
You know what I mean? Because the thing is no one's going to call you out like a brother.
Yeah.
Like no one's going to call you out like a brother. That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But definitely, I've felt like I've become, my brother's become like one, like my best friend now.
Yeah.
For sure. We've been doing lots of things together. Like a lot, of course, moving into a new apartment, there's like shit tons of things you have to do. You need to like get your internet going. You need to like get like services going for
your
apartment.
Figure out how to play
like,
Terraria together.
Yeah. Like how to set up LAN tournaments and stuff.
Yeah.
And like buying furniture, like seriously, like buying furniture and like setting stuff. And like, it sucks.
Yeah.
But of course, once you have like all that groundwork done and you actually get into the part where you like, you feel like you're really living. Like living in your apartment.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I'm really like living with my brother and like the stuff we do is so much fun. Yeah. We'll watch like animes together. We'll watch, we'll play shit tons of games together.
Yeah.
We'll just talk about things all the time. Whenever we eat, we just sit down. We just like talk to each other about like stuff that's happening. If it's like politics, if it's like video games, if it's something we read or it doesn't matter. And like, as we said, the interests line up. So we always talk about something that we have in common.
Yeah.
And he says, "Oh, I found this today. I read this today. Isn't this super interesting?" I'm like, "Oh wow, this is super interesting. That's really cool." And he tells me about it, and I say, "All right, I found this today. What do you think?" I was like, "Oh wow, this is also really interesting."
I wish
and
I could just, be a like, fly on the wall for those.
Yeah, because
they're probably so fun.
Mm-hmm. It's like we just bounce back off each other all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's like
I found that incredible.
Probably some of the best times of your life.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, I'm expecting that.
Yeah. Like you're not even like that's one of those things you're probably not thinking of right now. Like when you're there, but like. When you look back on this, like when you look back on it, you're going to go, you know, the best fucking time, like you might be like, you know, I'm married, I have kids, I love my kids and I love my wife and this is great. But some of the best fucking times I had in my life was in that apartment with Paul.
Right. Exactly.
It was living with Paul.
It's something else that you can't really describe. I find it really hard to describe, but you just feel super comfortable. You feel super safe and it's just like, it's just a great feeling. It's just a great feeling.
Yeah. It's just like. It's close. It's just closeness is what it is. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like it. And that's what I said before. Like, if you don't have a brother, it's hard to understand. Because, you're dudes. You know what I mean? Like, it's more likely that you're going to have the same exact interests. And then on top of that, when you start living with someone, it's really hard. Like, I've not lived with anybody in my own apartment, but I imagine like you kind of have to go out of your way not to get to know someone you fucking live with.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's hard not to get to know them.
Yeah. Unless you're just like someone works the night shift and you work the day shift and you never see each other and you're like, okay, well, I kind of live in an apartment by myself. That's not really living with someone. When you're living with someone, like it's hard. You have to pretty much go out of your way to not live with them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. To not interact with them and everything like that. Mm. And then on top of that, you add someone in who's probably, if you're close enough brothers, it's probably going to be your favorite roommate. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be your best roommate. Like, who else would you want to room with? My roommate list is, like, number one, Andre. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, I want to live with Joe, too. Don't get me wrong. I love Joe. But it's just something about having a brother. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like...
I talk to a lot of people, and they also say, like, man, living with your brother must be so cool. Like, how is that? Like, exactly how you asked me.
Yeah.
Lots of people want to do things like that.
Yeah.
People are close with their siblings.
Yeah. I know. It's awesome. And it makes me sad when people aren't close with their siblings.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, you're missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're missing out. So I have, like, Sophia. I don't talk about Sophia enough on the podcast. but I love Sophia. Like, we're close, too. It's mm-hmm. just, like, but, we have different interests and everything. And that's the thing is, like, when you grow up, like, Andre and I grew up playing video games together and everything. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Like, living with your brother.
Like, my brother got me into a lot of the things that I do today. I look up to Paul a lot.
I kind of want to ask you that. So I've never asked Andre this.
Mm-hmm.
I've never asked, like, and this is probably, I don't know if I'd ever even ask him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be curious to know at some point, like, does Andre look up to me?
I bet he does.
I can't imagine it. You know what I mean?
I find it's really easy for the little brother always to look up to the big brother.
Because I know, you just told me, but I can tell you look up to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I can just tell by how you talk about Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Paul and you probably go, look, Paul, we've had this conversation before where you said, like, Paul's super smart. He works real hard. Like, I look up to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. It's
so cool. Like, I don't have an older brother. I have no idea what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? So that's always fascinated me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so what is that like? Like,
it's,
I know that's like an open-ended question,
yeah,
but
there's
that
lots
like
of,
looking up to, like, having an older brother? What is that like?
There's definitely two sides of it, right?
Yeah.
There's one side where you think, well, I have this incredible role model in my life.
Yeah.
He's done a ton of incredible things. And of course, you as a person also want to aspire to do incredible things.
Yeah.
So having that direct person and someone as close as your sibling to, like, look up to.
Yeah.
It helps a lot with motivation and just hard work and what you want to do.
Yeah.
In life.
Yeah, it's too.
It becomes a great motivational tool.
And with your brother too, like, because Paul was an overachiever.
Right. Yeah. He went balls to the wall and everything.
Yeah, and everything. I look up to Paul a lot for that.
Yeah. That I find fantastic, right?
Yeah.
You have that role model, you can benefit so much from that.
Yeah.
But of course, there's always then the flip side as well,
mm-hmm.
where kind of like the negative thinking, oh, Paul achieved this, but I couldn't achieve it, so therefore I'm inferior.
Yeah.
Right? And that
that's
is
the thing where you can't compare.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Comparing's not good.
That is something that I struggled with a lot.
Yeah.
But I've gotten way better with it.
I feel
way more comfortable with
it. I've heard you kind of talk about it a little bit where you're like, you know, like Paul was, I mean, to get in like a little bit into it, Paul's valedictorian and
right.
like he went off to Germany. And,
right, right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's like the one big example that I'll use. Like Paul was valedictorian of Ruston, right?
Yeah.
We both went to Ruston. He was valedictorian.
Yeah.
I only finished 7th
yeah.
in our entire class, which is still fucking incredible, right?
Yeah.
Out of 300 kids, we had about 300 kids.
That's really good, Mark.
Yeah.
I don't know where I finished.
But of course, at that time, I look at it and it's like, well, I wasn't first. I wasn't first. I wasn't as good as Paul.
Yeah.
And that brings you down. But then I finally come to that point where you
where
stop
you can
looking
look at it
as
not as,
like,
as a comparative thing. You look at it as like, oh, I can feed off this.
Exactly.
Like, I
exactly.
can learn from this.
I got to 7th because of Paul.
Yeah. Well, you got to 7th because of me.
But like,
part of that fire. So like
right.
if we're looking at
he's at the bottom, like throwing twigs into the fire, like stoking the flame a little bit.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing is, I have not accomplished a lot. So that's why I've always been interested, because like with Paul, it's easy. You know what I mean? Like I could look up to fucking Paul. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like I could look up to him. And the thing is that
it's easy to look up to him.
Yeah, it's easy, right? Because he achieves. But that's one thing I've always wanted to know. Like, if I could be in Andre's brain for a second, I would love to be in his brain and see, like, what does he look at me like? What is he, like, when he looks at Lucas, he goes, this fucking guy.
I highly doubt he looks like that.
Yeah.
Looks up to you like that. But, no, yeah, it is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, you could always just ask Andre.
I know. It just feels weird. It feels
it
like
is a kind of an awkward conversation. Like, I would never say anything
directly
to Paul.
It's not like that. It's not, It's not because it's an awkward conversation. I'm not afraid to have awkward conversations.
Okay.
That is not... Bro, I have a mic in front of you right now, and I have a mic in front of me. I'm not afraid of awkward conversations. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's going to be moments... I've had moments on this mic. This very mic. I've had moments where I've gone, how do I keep this going? Mm-hmm. Like, where I go, man, what is the next avenue? Mm-hmm. Or someone's not talking so much, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of getting... I got to kind of figure my way out here. And it's not there. My job is to make this work. Right. You know what I mean? That's why I love it. Because
you're quite good at it.
This is... So the way I look at podcasting is like this. It's a map. I look at it as like this map in my head.
Okay.
And so when I see... So right now, I see it right now. Like, I know when it's happening. The conversation is changing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, I'm about to go into this thing about how I like podcasting, this map in my head, right? There's these points in conversations where you look. And so I don't like doing interviews. I like asking questions, but I love having those moments where we're talking and all of a sudden, think about this. We started talking about cell phones, right?
Yeah.
See?
That's actually insane. Yeah.
Right? Right. So this is why I love this, because we start talking about cell phones and then we start talking about how do we interact with people. And we start interacting with people, and then I go, oh, but you've interacted with people, and this person meets you on the street, and then all of a sudden we've gotten to your whole story,
right.
Your whole story, and this whole map. And now I have, so like if this map was Marvin, right? And now I have this whole better understanding of why you went to Germany. Now I know more about you,
right?
Because you told me, and I learned it from you, you know what I mean? Like I learned that you struggled with this, and now I've learned more about your relationship with Paul, all these things. And it's not because I sat down and I said, let me write out these questions. It's because it just happened that way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's just like a normal flow of conversation.
Yeah. It's just, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So like even, like we were just talking about Andre, and then I go into this whole thing about this map that I have. Like it's just, I can just see it. I can see when it happens, when it changes. And I've had moments on the mic where I'm like, we are in uncharted waters. Like we are, I don't know where to go next. And then you got to find it. And that's the fun part. Like, it's just like, it's that challenge.
It must be a sick brain exercise.
Oh, this?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Because the thing is, it's easy to talk to people. I actually don't like talking that much. It might sound weird because I get on the mic and I talk a lot, but I like to spend a lot of my time being quiet. So like, I don't know if you, like very recently, this has been a phenomenon of mine really recently.
Okay.
I don't know if you've noticed, but like the more time if you noticed last time we were hanging out, but I spend a lot of time just sitting. Like I just don't spend a lot of time talking. Like I try not to do
it. Are you thinking then or?
No, I'm just sitting.
You're just sitting?
I'm just watching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just watching. That's, you know what I mean? Like I just sit and I watch and I listen and then I go, oh, like maybe I'll go in here, but I'm more content to like kind of let people do their thing. You know, so that's kind of something I'm learning that I enjoy doing because I don't really like talking that much. You know what I mean? I like having conversations, but then all of a sudden, like, I love this. Like, you put a mic in front of someone and now all of a sudden...
It is a different experience.
You've got to talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we've sat before and we've kind of had conversations and we go and you hit the end of the conversation, right? And then you go, okay, we're sitting there and then you're watching whatever, right? That's happened to you and I.
Right.
Because it happens to everybody. We sit down, we're talking, but in podcasting, it's my job. All of a sudden, it has now become my job to make sure that it keeps going, right? Because I'll go until it's done, until that horse is run and it's gone and no one knows where it's coming back. You know, that horse is gone.
I find that really interesting how, just to bring it back a little bit to the sitting and spectating part.
Yeah.
How you're talking about that. Because I've figured this out in like the last year. My brain, I feel like, is running constantly.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm not in conversation with someone, like actively conversing with someone, or like sitting down, like doing a math problem or like whatever, if I just have free time, my brain is constantly running. Yeah. I'm thinking of like new scenarios in my head. I'm like reliving moments or thinking about new moments, something that could happen.
Yeah.
Or like thinking about like, what should I do now? And it feels like my brain is constantly churning, chugging as hard as it can.
I've been there.
It is insane, and I would love just to experience, like, I've tried to do that a couple of times. I'm not very good at it. I always like run back into that same, like, all right, well, time to do something. You're not doing something, so time to do something. I would love just to like sit back, relax, and just like look at stuff.
So that is like this gets into a whole load of whole can of worms that you're about to, that you just opened up on me. Cause I have a lot of thoughts. So I spent a lot of time, a fair amount of, I'm very introspective.
Okay.
Extremely. Mm-hmm. Like before you were here, I was sitting here stretching, thinking,
mm-hmm.
just not thinking, but just being like, just being here and mm-hmm. just being in the stretches and just kind of playing with the dog.
That's something I just don't do.
Yeah. But the thing is I'm not, it's not that I'm not thinking, it's that I'm kind of thinking, but I'm more in the moment
mm-hmm.
where like this kind of thought goes in my head and I'm like, oh, that's an interesting puzzle. Like, oh, how do I think about that sort of approach? And then it goes. And then it goes. And I'm like, okay, what's next? And then I just wait. And I just wait. And then I just wait. And the thing is, your brain, if you spend a lot of time thinking, your brain gets really good at thinking. Right?
Makes sense.
Right?
Right.
Because that's how the human brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And this was this one thing I heard on London Real is like, people, you'll spend a lot of time just thinking, this dialogue's in your head. Like, what's going to happen next? What's going on? What's this? What's that?
Mm.
To me, this is my personal belief. That's all anxiety. That's all emotion. That's all your emotion. And I believe that, like, emotions get kind of stored in the body. So, like, if my knee's bothering me or something,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, I might have pushed myself hard in a workout. But I believe that, like, at the root core of it, like, very rarely have I pushed myself so hard that I'm hurt.
Right.
Like, it's some sort of it's my brain saying, oh, you better slow down. And if I can push through that, then I find this calmness on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You find that is the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been reading more Bruce Lee too. I got him around the room, but he said the one analogy I really like. So the moment is like the wind. You can never make the wind happen, but you can leave the window open.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, you can. I really like that quote. That's one that stuck with me. Is you just can't, you can't make the wind happen. You know what I mean? You can't make the moment happen. The moment just happens. But, and the thing is, though, there's just this one weird caveat, though, to all this. You can practice it. Like, you can practice it. And then all mm-hmm. of a sudden, you're in the moment more and more. And there's going to be times. There's going to be times where all of a sudden that wind stops coming. It's just not blowing. You're sitting there in your thoughts. That just happens, though. And then mm-hmm. when you learn to accept that, this is the weirdest thing. When you learn to accept, like, oh, nothing's going on. And you go, I don't have to be doing anything right now. Like, you're freaking out. You're like, what am I supposed to do? I feel like I should be doing something. And then if you accept and you're like, okay, I can be doing something right now. This is what I've been doing, is doing things with a purpose, not just doing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's living to live and doing things with purpose, right? So doing to just do things, just to keep your brain busy and doing things, I actually don't think that's very healthy.
No, it's not healthy.
Yeah, I don't like doing that.
That's what I've been doing.
Yeah, but the thing is then when you start saying, oh, I could be doing something right now, but you know what? I don't really want to do anything right now. I just want to be right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start practicing that, and then you're like, oh, and then it starts bleeding in, and then it's weird. There's this weird thing that happens, then you start getting better at everything that you're doing.
Right.
Because all of a sudden,
it's like a muscle, like you're just training it.
Yeah. But all of a sudden is you get better at everything that you do in your life, because you're all of a sudden coming from this place of, oh, I don't have to do this because I'm freaking out. You're just doing this because you're like, oh, I'm doing this because I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing this because I have to get a job or have to do anything like that. I'm doing this because I'm doing this. This mm-hmm. is what I'm doing. Like right now I'm talking to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to Marvin. I am not... Right now, like, I'm going to think of some things, but this is what I'm doing. And in a couple moments, it might be 10 minutes from now, all those thoughts that I just had in my brain, as I said, I'm talking to Marvin, oh, wait, did I take the trash out, right?
Right.
All those thoughts, they're going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so now all of a sudden, I'm not thinking as much. Now all of a sudden, I'm in my body, and that's different. It's like stepping, it's this weird thing that happens. So I had a big bout of depression earlier, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, and it's my life's been really easy. My life, I've not had a lot of challenges in my life. I've had to find ways to challenge myself. And so that, like, this bout of depression type thing and anxiety, you know, that was something I really had to deal with. And out of that, like, I learned a lot. When I was in my head all the time, and I'm sitting there thinking, and I did this for a long time, for like my whole life, for as long as I can remember, I had this voice in my head. It was almost like a book. Like the words in a book, I could see the words. Like I felt like I could see the words almost, and I could hear the words. And then I would be like, oh, you could be doing this, you could be doing that, you should be doing this. Like, oh, what's going on? What did this person think? What did that person think? All these thoughts going on in my head. And it's so weird. Very recently, I'm just tipping the iceberg, hitting the tip of the iceberg, which is weird. Is that I'm learning too, is that the better and better I get out of it, I think I get better at being in the moment. And then I learn, oh, there's a whole nother iceberg down there. You know what I mean? Because all of a sudden, what happens is all of a sudden, everything seems like clearer to me. Okay. Like the world seems clearer. Like I feel like I'm not in here. Like all of a sudden, I feel like I'm in my body.
I feel 100% of the time I'm always up here.
Yeah, you're
and
in
that's
here.
The problem.
You're between your ears. Right.
Right? Right.
So I've been there and it sucks.
It does suck.
Yeah, it sucks, right? It
sucks balls, man.
Yeah. No, it's awful. But that the thing is that your brain is in overdrive. Like it's working on something. It's trying to figure something out.
I feel like I don't have a rest, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, though, it's not to get a rest. It's not to find a rest. It's to find a way to be calm and just be whatever it is. Just be here amongst everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so hard. You can't think your way out of it. That's mm-hmm. the crazy thing. Because guess what? If you're thinking about it, you're thinking about it, and then all of a sudden you're getting better at thinking about it, and then you're thinking about it and spending more time thinking about it, and all of a sudden all you're doing is thinking about it.
Right.
Right?
That's exactly what you don't want to do.
Yeah.
I saw... I forget where, but I saw a video from day 9.
Yeah.
And he had a really good analogy about about this whole like thinking patterns where like if you think of your brain and like your thoughts as like a river,
mm-hmm.
if you could just be the person,
the
right,
observer,
of an observer that stands beside the river. And yeah. as the river is flowing, you look down and you see these thoughts, right?
Yeah.
And they flow down the river.
Yeah.
You can't do anything to, like
you can't pull it up.
Yeah, you can't stop the river. You can't stop the river.
You can pull water out and drink it.
Right.
But guess what? That river's still going.
Right, right. It's gonna happen. There's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to participate.
Yeah.
You see the thoughts rolling down.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you look into the river and you say,
yeah,
I like that thought.
Yeah.
You can reach down. You can grab it, and now you have it.
That's where I feel like for the first time in my life, dude. It's hard for me to explain. For the first time in my life, I feel like I'm getting close to that. And all of a sudden, every time I feel like I get there, I'm like, oh my God, there's this whole nother level. Like recently I've been, so these are the things that I think you have to do. I think everybody should do. This is what's helped me more than anything. One, I think everybody in the world should fucking do Wim Hof breathing.
Mm.
Everybody should do Wim Hof breathing. You should do it every day.
What is it exactly?
It's a type of breathing that Wim Hof does. And the thing is, it's you oxygenate your body, and they've actually shown by studies it increases your pH and it increases your blood saturation with oxygen. So you have more oxygen in your blood and in your brain.
Okay.
And the thing is if you have more oxygen, things are kind of functioning better. Now, if you don't want to be like full of oxygen all the time, but you do all these breathing sets, and then you let go.
Mm-hmm.
So headphone warning, but you go. And you do that like 40 times,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden you get to 40 and you let go. You let go of all like your air. You just hit this point of relaxing, and there's like just air in your lungs, like very little air in your lungs, and you realize you can hold your breath for like 2 minutes.
Insane.
And all of a sudden what starts happening, for those of you who don't do it, you should don't do it while you're driving. Don't do it anything like that. There's a video that Wim Hof has published, and he teaches you how to do it, and it's free. It's just you breathing. It's free. And there's a video that I use, and I've linked it before. There's a video that he does where he... oh, dude, I love talking about this stuff. I just realized that. There's a video that he does where he shows you how to do it, and then there's a video that is available out there that does 3 sets. It takes 15 minutes. It takes 15 minutes, and you do the 3 sets of breathing.
Mm.
That one. So that's how whenever I suggest it to people, I say, watch how he does it. Let him teach you how to do it, and then do this video so that for like the first time you do it, first couple times, dozen or so times you do mm-hmm. it, you know how to do it,
right.
And you have the rhythm of it.
Okay.
But the weirdest thing happens is that all of a sudden it feels like your nerves and everything is on fire. Yeah, like it feels like there's all these pins and everything, but it doesn't hurt. Like it feels like my body is being like crazy electrified almost, and I can feel like my chest gets like, I just feel so relaxed. Yeah, it's a great feeling. It's like, it is the best. Okay, so the best moments I've, like, feelings I've had in my life, the craziest experiences I've had is when I've had really good Wim Hof sets, where I'm sitting, okay, like, right here. So I sleep on the floor, but right here on this floor, where I do my breathing, and it feels like my hands, everything is tingling in this intense tingle. It is indescribable unless you felt it. It's indescribable. It's like drinking or smoking, any of those things. Like these things that people do to alter their experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
It alters your experience.
Right.
It's just like that. Unless you've done it, it's so hard to explain.
Right.
But literally, I can feel like my whole arms are tingling. And
is it kind of like a drug almost?
No.
Not like a drug, but like an experience of like...
It's this crazy experience. And then I close my eyes and have like lights. I see all these lights and everything. It's crazy. He's shown that you can release DMT from doing it.
Ooh.
Into your brain. It's wild. That's one thing I think everybody should do. Because one, it's part of a meditation. And it's oxygenating your body, which is really good. And two, the other thing I think people should do is they should meditate. I think everybody should meditate because they don't want to. And that's why you should meditate, is because you don't want to.
All right. It's back to that kind of change thing that we had before.
Yeah, yeah. I meditate fairly often.
Mm.
I try to do, so like I set goals for the month where I'm like, I want to meditate 30 minutes every day.
Mm.
Right? Well, I don't always hit those goals. But I try to meditate. When it's the weirdest thing happens. When I meditate 30 minutes every day for like 7 days straight, whew, man, do things start moving. My life just starts firing. Because I'm just doing this thing, and it's hard. It's hard. I sit down there and I go, dude, I don't want to take this 30 minutes out of my day. It's weird. You don't want to do it. But mm-hmm. guess what? It's like some of the best self-work you can do is just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sit there and breathe. And what I do is I sit there and I breathe and I listen to my body. I listen to, so this goes off my belief that like, I think that like emotions store up as tension in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Like instead of facing them, I think what happens is like you'll, like if people have tight backs or something, there's a famous book, or not a famous book, it's called The Pain Solution by Dr. Sarno. My dad read it. It's like this thing about back pain. Your back's such a strong muscle. Like, this is the weirdest thing for me, is that I'm still learning how to balance this in my mind. You can actually physically hurt yourself. Like, right. You could go out and do an event and physically really hurt yourself. Like, you could break your back or something, right? I don't think that's really emotional. You broke your back, right? That's just some freak circumstance. You broke your back. Now, if you just have like tightness in your back, that's where I go, you know what? Part of me believes that that's like your body emotionally saying, there's some tightness here. It's trying to tell you something. Your body's trying to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, what they do is they try and like take medication or anything like that instead of listening to your body. What's your body telling you? Your body telling you your back hurts. And then you listen, and you sit there. So what I do is I meditate, and I have something that, it's easier when something hurts, but it's harder when something hurts because you're uncomfortable.
All right.
But like it's easy because you have something tangible to go to.
Right. You have something to focus on.
Yeah. So I meditate and I listen. I go, okay, so what's my body telling me? I don't try to think about it though. I just try to listen. That's really hard. Because then you start thinking, you go, oh, well, this happened the other day. This happened the other day.
Right,
you start
thinking about all these things. That's exactly where mine would go to.
Yeah, that's where it would go. But the thing is though, this is how you get better at it. You have to sit down and keep doing it.
Mm.
You just have to sit down and keep doing it. The fact that you're doing it, and this is what teaches you patience, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is that whole patience thing. The fact that you're doing it and it sucks and it might not be that great. You might have a session where you're thinking the whole time and you can't get in your body. The fact that you're sitting and doing it means you're making progress. It's not because I didn't or did make progress, right? It's not because I sat down and today, you know what, today, like in practice, in sports. So I still practice tennis. I still practice melee. I have times where I go, I get on melee and I play Andre and I get fucking rocked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I did not get better today. I suck. I did not get better today. But really, you know what it really is? I got better today because you know why? I sat down there and I practiced.
Right.
You know, I might have not feel like I got better, but the fact that I sat down there, that's why I'm getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And just putting in time. And that's why like meditating, I think, is super important.
I think I really got to try that out.
Yeah.
I've had people suggest it to me.
Yeah. No, and you got to do it because you don't want to do it. That's the thing.
How did you start off doing it?
Meditating?
Yeah.
I've been meditating since on and off since high school. So like in high school one time, I was playing a tennis tournament actually, and it was right in here, and I remember sitting like hearing about meditation. I was like, "Oh, maybe I'll try this." And so I meditated for like half an hour. It was hard. Mm-hmm. I just sat there and I kind of listened to this video on how to do it and like how to breathe. And then I didn't meditate for a long time.
Okay.
And then every now and then I would meditate, just be like, oh, let me try it out. And then I would say within the past 2 years, I've like amped up my meditation where I try to meditate every day a little bit, where I try to meditate. But the thing is that this is the thing too. The more you do it, the more benefit you're going to get, I think. Like, I can't imagine. It's hard for me.
Because the more practiced you are at it.
Yeah, the more practiced you are at it. Now, the thing is if you're meditating on everything and you're not doing your life, obviously you're not making strides in your life. So you got to find out how it works, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can fill your time, though, the empty time that you're using with meditation, I don't see how that can be bad for you. Like, how can you do too much of sitting there and listening to yourself and understanding yourself better? Right. You're learning yourself as a human better. As long as that's not getting away of you living life, like I'm just not sitting paralyzed here in my room meditating, right? I have goals and dreams. Mm-hmm. I can't meditate those goals and dreams into existence.
Right, right.
Right? I still have to do all those other things. But the time and the free time that I have, if I spend that time intentionally, I'm not sitting on my phone.
Right,
and this
right.
gets back to the phone.
Yeah.
We're back at the phone.
The full loop.
Yeah, full loop. But if I'm spending that time meditating, and sometimes I don't. I'll be honest, I don't meditate every day.
Right.
I try to. But the thing is like, the more you do it and the longer you do it, you just get so much benefit. Because guess what? Not all meditation is created equal. That's the thing too, is then you start learning what works for you. Because
mm-hmm.
it's this weird thing. You think, because this, I challenge people, especially kids, because I teach tennis, so I work with kids. I've challenged them. I say, okay, well, how about you sit silent here for 2 minutes? Almost none of them can do it.
And they're a kid.
Yeah, they're a kid. But if they could learn, even if they're kids, right? Even if they're kids, a lot of kids, I think, would feel so much better if they learned those things, right?
Well, it depends on how young they are. I don't know.
Yeah. No, they're like in high school, middle school type stuff.
Oh, okay.
Like, they can't really sit there for 2 minutes silently.
Right.
You know? And that's where... And again,
because we've been trained our entire lives to be constantly thinking about things.
Yeah, to be constantly moving, constantly thinking about things.
Right. So I would assume that it would be super hard.
Yeah, it's super hard. Yeah, but then and they don't want to do it. And there we go. This goes to it. The kids, they don't want to do it, right? Because they don't want to sit there quietly for 2 minutes. Right. What's the use in sitting there quietly for 2 minutes? That's the thing. So
I think that's like the biggest problem, because people don't really understand the benefits that come from it until they finally do it themselves.
Yeah. And so I learned that. As I got older and I look and I try and teach these kids, I don't teach them. I just challenge them every now and then. It's not like something, it's more something that I'm doing. And if they want to do it eventually, they'll get there.
Mm.
But the thing is like, I'll challenge them. I'll go, oh, like they don't want to do it. Like I see the kid in me there, the kid in me that does not want to sit, that always wants to be doing something, that always wants to be doing something and not meditate. Right.
Lucas, I think you just convinced me to start meditating.
Yeah, It'll happen. But the thing is though, all of a sudden, you're going to have... So I challenge you. Like, I challenge you to meditate 15 minutes, like, every day, 5 days a week.
Mm.
That would be my prescription. As, I'm not a doctor or anything.
All right, Yeah.
But, like, if someone came to me for the first time, I would say, listen, just sit quietly, turn your phone off. What I do...
Do you sit on the floor or...
I sit in a chair. I lay down often.
You lay down?
I lay down. I make sure I don't want to fall asleep, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I make sure that... If I feel like I'm going to fall asleep, I sit in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Like I sit in a chair or I sit in a way that I'm not going to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you fall asleep. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're so tired. And sometimes your body just says, yeah, I know you want to meditate right now, but you got to fucking sleep. Also, but you
just listen to your body.
Yeah. You get better. I think it's better though, is to what I think is even better. This gets into it more, is that your body emotionally is tired. If you can sit with the tiredness and not let it do anything, this is where the true power meditation is. This is for me. This is how it works powerfully for me. When I sit here quietly and I listen to I meditate in this chair, I meditate in that chair.
Okay.
When I sit here quietly and I listen to my body and I feel my body want to move and I recognize, oh, my body wants to move, but then I just sit with it and I don't do anything with it. And if I want to cough, it gets painful sometimes. Like this is, I take it to another level. So sometimes I sit there and I can feel like this urge to cough or this itch in my throat. And instead I recognize it and the power to recognize it and say, I want to cough. I don't want to sit here with the discomfort of not coughing and then just saying, but I'm just going to see how long I can sit with it and see and just breathe and just breathe through it. And sometimes it gets so painful, I almost cry. Like I almost feel tears because like my throat is scratching.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I hit this point where it stops.
And you're good.
And then I'm good.
That's, I find that super interesting. And my brother, Paul, he tried to do that once. Of course, when we're in Germany, we sit a lot in the English garden and he sits just in the grass, right? Talking to other people. And then he feels this scratch on his leg.
Yeah.
Right. And he told me before, he's tried so many times already just to identify the scratch, feel the scratch, but not scratch it.
Yeah. I do that. I'm really good at it now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one of the first things I started with was scratching.
That must be so difficult. He says he's not very good at it.
Yeah.
But like,
you imagine he's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing is, and then all of a sudden what happens is they kind of just start going away. Because it's your brain doing all these things to try and pull you out of what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because your brain says to you, this is what happens. You hit 15 minutes and you're like, oh, I don't want to sit here anymore. And then you give up and you wake up. You wake up out of your meditation. You open your eyes. You ring. so you open your eyes. You say, I tap out. I'm done meditating today. It's your brain challenging you. Your brain will think of all these thoughts. It'll say, oh, is this person okay? Is this person okay? I'm anxious. You'll feel it. I call it the wall of resistance. I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel it. It hits my face right here. Because what I'm starting to do now is I don't really have this pain in my body that much often, right? My body feels pretty loose, feels really good. What I do is I feel like I also, my digestion, I hold a lot of energy there, like my tightness in my stomach. Mm-hmm. I can feel it there. But I feel like this energy almost, like this flow of energy in my body. It's hard to describe, but I feel like this wall of resistance is the only way I can describe it. I feel like this wall, it hits me halfway to my head and then it consumes the front of my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone to therapy for a while and she did this practice with me. My therapist would do. She sits in the chair next to me and she would say, this is how she practiced to help me get out of my head. What do you feel in your body and describe it to me? What do you describe? So this is how I learned to do it. I would sit there and I would go, okay, so I'm closing my eyes and you know what? Like right now, I feel like this tingling in my legs. Like it feels almost like, let's see, and it's kind of moving. It's not really there as strong. And I almost feel like in my knees and my calves are kind of connected and I have this like tightness up in here. And I have this tightness in my throat. It almost kind of feels like this gem, like this picture. And I just start describing pictures that are going on in my mind. And I try and listen to it. I don't try and judge it. I say what's in my mind. So this is this wall. I can feel it. I can feel it when I work out too. When I meditate for a really long time or I work out really hard, I feel like there's this wall that goes, like it almost cuts me in half. And I feel like I can feel like this energy on my face. And I can feel like my face just wants to go, ugh. Like, ugh, oh man, I don't want to do this. Like I can feel my face want to get downcast.
Okay.
And what I do is instead of like trying to stop it and like force it down, what I do is I just listen to it and I listen to that resistance. And that's what I call it. It's my resistance. I can feel it. I can identify it now. Mm. I know when it's there. It's crazy. It's because I started running recently.
Okay.
And when I really push myself in my runs,
I feel running so therapeutic.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know why? Because you're just running. You get in this meditative state.
That's, yeah.
You know?
That is an incredibly, yeah. Like, like people talk about like that runner's high that you get.
Oh, it's legit.
Yeah. Like, so true.
It's crazy how much better my days go when I run.
It's, yeah. I used to do track and field back in high school. And I don't run nearly as much. I recently ran a half marathon in March.
Good shit, dude.
Was very hard. Really, really pushed my body to the limit.
Yeah.
But I loved running, and now like looking back at it, like I wish I still had those like track and field moments.
Yeah.
But just like running in general, just you there's like two ways to do it. Like of course, like running, you have like lots of time to think, right?
Yeah.
So you can go if there's something stressing you out, you can just go and or you need to like work through something in your head, you can go for a run, and you're just like working through it in your head, and it's fine. There's also like the I just want to run right now.
Yeah.
Let's just go for a run. Let's not think about anything. I'm here right now. All I'm focusing on is running in this direction.
Yeah. See, I'm the exact opposite. I hate running. And that's why I do it.
That's why you do it?
That's why I do it. Because you know why? Running. But you know why? Is because when I'm running, and again, this is something I just started doing. I've always hated running because it takes so much goddamn fucking time.
It does take a lot of time.
It takes so much goddamn fucking time. Mm. Like, I have to go out there and run for an hour, but all of a sudden I've been running for an hour and I've been pushing myself pretty hard. Oh my God, man. I just feel so, I can feel it. And then I'm starting to learn to want to feel that resistance. And then I feel it and I feel that wall and I'm like, all right, this is where I'm starting to resist myself. Mm. This is where my brain is telling me, you got to quit. And that's the emotions in me are saying, you got to quit. You got to quit. You got to stop running. Mm. You got to go home. Mm-hmm. And so when I feel that, what I do is I go further. Mm-hmm. So I've been telling myself, okay, how can I make this harder? Mm-hmm. Like, how can I make this run harder? And so, like, I can feel that resistance. And then all of a sudden, there's this point where I get through and I go, and then this is what I call it. And this is when I'm in the fuck zone.
The fuck zone.
This is when my brain has thoroughly been introduced to the fuck zone. And nothing, when I'm in the fuck zone, my brain is fucked.
Right.
It can't control me. Because my biggest weakness is my mind. I know my biggest weakness is my mind.
That's the running is such a mental game.
Yeah, because you want to quit.
Right.
You want to quit. So this actually comes from Dark Souls. So.
Oh, we can talk about Dark Souls.
Yeah, we can talk about Dark Souls for sure. But so Andre and I, we have this meme. We have this joke where, you know, when you have all of the easy guys, like you can gather all the easy guys and you bring them into an area and you just destroy them. Right. You bring them to an open area, right?
Right.
And you're like, that is the fuck zone.
That is the fuck zone.
There is nothing. And if you, but if you slip up in the fuck zone, right?
You're dead.
Like if you're not paying attention, you can make mistakes and die in right. Dark Souls. But if you're truly in the state of mind of the fuck zone of, oh, all of you, all of these enemies are going to die. And that's just going to happen. That's what I do to my brain. That is what I'm trying to do to my brain when I run.
That's very interesting.
So I try to hit that wall. And that's all those enemies saying, like, you got to quit. You got to quit. You got to quit.
You hit that point quite a lot in track and field, yeah. Especially in like races and stuff.
Not just in track and field. And this is what I'm trying to, this is what I've been learning about myself, is you meet that point every day in your regular life.
That's true.
When you're sitting there thinking, that's your brain controlling you. Mm-hmm. That's your brain saying like, whatever you're dealing with, your brain is like, this is resistance.
Mm-hmm.
This is resistance. And that's where you got to say, nope. I know what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. 'Cause guess what? You have to. So this is that David Goggins book. And this is something I learned is you have to, the reason why I have to work out like and run, 'cause I hate it. And, so I don't know. Again, I'm just starting this. So I don't know how long I've just been doing this a couple weeks now of just like this running, but I'm really going to try and stick with it. Like I plan to stick with it, honestly, because there's nothing like it. You have to go to war with your brain. You have to go to war with your own brain. You know why?
Why?
Because it knows everything about you. It knows all of your goddamn weaknesses. It knows your brain. If your brain is in control of you, your brain knows when to make you feel cocky. It knows when to make you feel upset. It knows how to pick on all those weaknesses. When you're in a moment, think about this. When you're in a moment and you're insecure and you're talking to like, say some chick or something, right? And you're talking to a girl, your brain knows what to think to make you feel insecure.
Yeah.
Right? Your brain knows. And then all of a sudden you're playing, like let's say you're playing a sport or you're playing Melee or you're playing Dark Souls and your brain goes, oh yeah, I've done this before. I feel super confident. Your brain knows. Your brain knows all those moments to make you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause your brain, guess what your brain wants to do? It doesn't want to do that. You know why people don't finish Dark Souls? All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you have any questions for me or you want to reach out to the podcast, TLH_podcast on Twitter, the Lucas Hyde Podcast on Instagram, or Lucas Hyde Podcast, and then lucashyde.squarespace.com. You can see me over there on Squarespace, see my website, check it out, leave comments or whatever you want to do. You can let me know there. And also, everything will be down in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Part 2 is out next week. Get ready for it. All right. Bye. Love you guys. Bye.